It's the Brady and the Bunch podcast, presented by 101.3 The Game.
All right, welcome back. It is the Brady and the Bunch podcast. It is Friday, May 10th. Second week in a row, we've actually delayed our second edition of the Brady and the Bunch podcast. They usually come out every Tuesday and every Thursday. But two good reasons back to back. We had some scheduling conflicts. Last week, my brother was the one who joined the podcast, and he had a scheduling mess up, so we had to wait for him for Friday. Well, this one is a very good reason as well. It's our good friend, Val Pallotta. Val, how are you?
I'm okay, Brady. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to see you again. It's always good to talk with you. And a lot of people know who you are, and a lot of people have heard you on this station over the last couple of years. A lot of people know your story, and some of our podcast listeners have alluded to you in other episodes and things like that. So I will give the very lame term version, and then we'll kind of start the expansive conversation. But I always tell people that you are a woman on a one-woman crusade, sometimes it feels like, to the very, very noble and honorable cause of trying to end veteran suicide. So this is a interview that I always love having. It's always, I would say, regretful that we have to have it, but I also end up leaving this interview every year very, very uplifted also. And the reason why you were trying to end veteran suicide is because your son, Josh Pallotta, went and served in Afghanistan. He's a local, was a local athlete in this area, went to Colchester High School, helped start the lacrosse program there, big hockey fan. He served in Afghanistan and ultimately ended his own life with post-traumatic stress after coming back from the war. And so that is the very, very layman's term version of who you are. And now you are on this quest to end veteran suicide. So thank you for that. And thank you for being here.
Well, thank you, Brady. That was great. You you tell my story wrapped up in a good little nutshell.
The story in 30 seconds, the intro version of who you are in 30 seconds doesn't do it justice. And I always like in the podcast to let our co-host kind of take the reins on this. So this weekend is a big weekend. It's a big weekend for you. It's a big weekend for the Josh Pallotta Foundation. It's your biggest fundraising event of the year in your quest to end veteran suicide. You have the Josh Pallotta Annual Memorial Hockey Tournament going on this weekend at Cairns Arena. So why don't you tell us about what's going on tomorrow?
Sure. So actually, it all started with Jordan Carpenter, who is one of your big listeners.
Yes, he's also very harsh on me on Twitter.
Oh,
so
Jordan.
For someone who's such a, what I thought we had such a great bond, he's very harsh on me.
You know, he's kind of like that when he's behind the scenes, when he's not in your face.
He's a Twitter tough guy.
He's a Twitter tough guy.
Okay.
Yeah, but he's a big teddy bear at heart.
He's going to listen to this. So Twitter tough guy, Jordan Carpenter.
That's right. Hockey freak. Something. Hockey freak. 90.
Hockey freak 189 or something
or
like
92
that.
Or 92 okay. Or something like that. I don't know. So Jordan actually played hockey with Josh.
Mm-hmm.
He played youth hockey with him. And, you know, he was a good friend of his. They hung out a lot. And after Josh died, he just kind of didn't really know what to do and wanted to do something. So hockey was what he knew. So he came up with the idea to start the hockey tournament. And of course, my husband Greg plays in a league. Still kicking it. Oh, my gosh. They just actually went to a tournament in Montreal and lost in the finals.
You got to get him to, does he play in the Pond Hockey Classic that we're a part of every February?
No, because it's too darn cold. He doesn't want to play outside. He's old, he's broken.
Does he like to drink, has he ever drank beer in his life?
Yeah, maybe one or two in his life.
Then he could enjoy the Pond Hockey Classic, so that's okay.
You know, we joke about that with his men's league too, because they just kind of go to drink the beer.
Well, that's good. That's the Pond Hockey Classic is a place where you can do that responsibly, of course, and have a lot of fun.
But you got to drink it outside. And I think that's the thing that, you know, gets him every time.
As my college baseball coach said, there's no such thing as bad weather, just bad clothing. So it's okay. So.
Oh, yeah. So, no, he doesn't play in the Pond Hockey Tournament.
Well, he should. Anyways, I digress.
Anyway. So, yeah, Jordan came up with this idea to do the hockey tournament. So this year is our fifth year. So this is kind of a big year for us. It was our fifth year for our 14th Star event that we had, the 11 Bravo beer release, and then the fifth year for our hockey tournament. This will be 5 years coming up on the anniversary of Josh's death in September. So it's kind of a big number. And it seems like the hockey tournament has grown. I mean, we've had people from the National Guard play. We have Greg's men's league teams play.
Arnie's son played in it last year.
Oh, I didn't know that. Arnie's son, no kidding.
Arnie's son played in it last year, and our old intern Sam Finkelstein played in it.
No kidding.
Sam played at St. Mike's, just ended his career at St. Mike's, and his brother Ben played at Boston College this year, and it is property of the Florida Panthers.
No kidding.
So Arnie's son Shay and our old intern Sam have also played in the Josh Pallotta tournament.
Oh, that's great. I wonder if they're playing this year.
I can't speak for either of them, but it's possible.
I'll have to look that up.
So the hockey tournament is this weekend, and the main goal of the hockey tournament, have fun, but also to raise money and raise awareness. So
right.
You guys are in a great position, actually, because the teams are filled. This interview is not soliciting for teams,
right,
which is great. But people can go and hang out. People can go and watch. It's at Karen's Arena. It always is. So people can go watch. It's free admission. But if you want to donate, people can get involved that way.
That's true. So we're going to be selling some merchandise there, a little bit of merchandise that we have. We'll have some food for people who are there, players usually. The kind of exciting thing for me is that we have Aaron Miller.
Our new friend, Aaron Miller.
So backstory on this, Aaron, when he played for UVM, he was Josh's favorite hockey player. And Josh would wait outside the locker room for Aaron to come out after every single UVM hockey game. And Aaron was notoriously the last person out of the locker room. And when I told Aaron this, he kind of said, yeah, I was the last person. But Aaron has brought some of his former UVM players. So we've got Peter Brady, we've got Willie McKinnon. So back in the 70s at UVM, these guys played. So, and some more recent guys like Martin Vilde. So that's exciting to me because, you know, Josh adored Aaron. So we've got him involved. And then we've got Rozzy's has a team coming in South Burlington High School, CVU High School, and Mount Mansfield High School are playing too. So that I had to throw that in there because that's a lot of fun.
Well, you didn't tell the story. You didn't end the Aaron Miller story with Josh about the picture that you've told me before.
Oh, so I was going through pictures and came across this one picture of Josh at the UVM hockey banquet. And there's a picture of him and Aaron. And Aaron has this long hair. Well, and you know Aaron now. Yeah. And he really has no hair
at the moment.
So he kind of got a kick out of the hair. It's a great picture. I posted that on Facebook.
Well, I think this story will interest you because I haven't told you this story, but I worked one of your events or volunteered at one of your events in February, right around Super Bowl Sunday. I think it was the day before Super Bowl Sunday. It was the Saturday before. It was the Chili Challenge. It was at Colchester High School. It was a lot of fun. And we were given Josh Pallotta bracelets that day.
Mm-hmm.
My girlfriend Jess and I worked there, and I haven't taken mine off in the whole 3.5 months or whatever since then.
Oh, thank you.
But, well, you're welcome, of course, but I wear it proudly. And we work out at Orange Theory Fitness, and Aaron Miller works out there too. That's how I say my new friend, Aaron Miller. So I've met him at Orange Theory. And before I even knew who he was, I saw he was wearing a Josh Pallotta bracelet.
Oh, you're kidding.
And so my first talk with him was not, you're Aaron Miller, formerly of UVM and of the NHL. It was, you're this guy next to me on the treadmill who's wearing a Josh Pallotta bracelet.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
that touches my heart.
So we talked after class, and it ended up getting to me like, okay, this is Aaron Miller of local fame of hockey of the NHL. And then he told me that story.
Oh, my gosh.
He told me the story about the picture. So I don't know how well you know Aaron Miller. Maybe you're best friends. Maybe you see him once a year at this event. But that was the first thing he told me, was that story about the picture, because it's something that stuck in his mind.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's really cool. Actually, Aaron, of course, you know, he's one of the co-owners of Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yes.
And they did their golf tournament last year for
Josh
Pallotta.
Yeah, he did mention that also.
And Blue Star Mothers of Vermont. So
that's
a really neat story.
It was very cool. And it's cool to meet Aaron, but to know that he's so heavily involved with Josh's fund and the Josh Pallotta fund and trying to end this veteran suicide also the same as you are. You have a big mission, though. The reason why you're raising all this money is to build what's called Josh's House. And the best way I can explain it, and you can explain it fully, is I basically liken it to a veteran community center. And then part of me thinks, well, we already have those, right? We have American Legions, but this is different from the American Legion. So what exactly are you looking, what is Josh's House exactly in your words?
So it's a wellness recreation center, basically. Mm-hmm. When Josh died and, you know, we'd gotten through the initial shock, after about 6 months to a year, we decided we wanted to do something to give back. So people started donating money anyway, right away after he died. They wanted to do something too. So my husband and I really thoughtfully thought about what would be best. So we talked to veterans who knew Josh, and we talked to veterans themselves saying, you know, what would have helped Josh? What would help you? And they all said, we just want a place to hang out and be together. So that piece of it, the recreation center, was born. And then I'm an aromatherapist, and aromatherapy has been known to show improvements in PTSD. So I wanted to take my complementary and alternative interests in strategies and using them for post-traumatic stress symptoms like massage therapy, Reiki, aromatherapy, massage, yoga, things like that, and then incorporate it with a recreation piece where they could have a place to hang out and be together and play video games and have a gym, things like that, and then have a community kitchen there so veterans could have a community meal or, you know, if we did a family day or something like that. So it's all of these things in one place. And then that's going to take a lot of money. So what we decided to do was to do something now, because we wanted to start helping veterans now. So we decided we would start a wellness hub, which incorporates all of these things, personal training too. So we're working with Concept Move right now is offering a veteran package, that the Josh Pallotta Fund is funding. So we can provide personal training for veterans because exercise has been shown to dramatically reduce post-traumatic stress effects too.
As you have studied post-traumatic stress, and I'm sure you have done exhaustive research on it on your own and trying to learn more about it, what would you say you've learned is the most difficult part for veterans coming back? Is it what they've seen and what they've been through, or is it coming back and trying to kind of rematriculate into society, and or is it somewhere in the middle?
I think it's both, and I think it depends on the veteran. So it's interesting because even before Josh had issues, I was interested in PTSD. So I had started doing some research on it way back then. And I think, you know, it's varied. It's so varied because everybody's different. So for Josh, it was that lack of brotherhood. And he lost that piece of camaraderie. And I think that's the case with a lot of veterans. And then a lot of veterans, it's what they've seen, what they've done. The flashbacks, the memories, the lack of sleep. And then for others, it's, you know, it's just not being able to integrate. You've been, you know, most veterans, well, with Josh, it was a year deployment. So you're, you know, you're told 24/7 what to, you know, what to wear, when you're going to eat, what to eat. And then you come back and you're trying to reintroduce into society and work a job. And, you know, it's just really hard reintegrating.
You know, it's really interesting that you say that because, look, we talk sports, but I've heard a lot of athletes say, and you hear a lot of athletes, that when they retire, this is this thing that has been a part of them for, in some cases, maybe 40 years. You know, they've been playing their professional sport for 15, 20 years, and before that, they were in a minor league system or college or high school, and they don't quite know what to do when they're done. And you hear a lot of stories of athletes that they go broke, or they don't know how to occupy their time, or they have trouble trying to figure out a second interest, and they go broke because they haven't figured out their next career. And it's, I've heard military people say the same thing, that when you lose that brotherhood, that's really, really tough trying to figure out what your next purpose is.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's hard for veterans too, when they have families back home and then they come back into that family unit and they're responsible for the bills and the kids and the, you know, the working and everything. And that, it's the same with them, too. And it, I think it's the same for anybody who retires from a job they've been doing for 20, 30 years. It's finding that purpose in life. And I think for veterans, that's huge because they've had a role, they've had a purpose, they've had a mission. And now what's their mission in life? You know, I've been training to do this, a lot of them, since they were 18 years old. And then they come back, and some of them are medically retired because, you know, for Josh, he medically retired because he carried around, you know, 60 pounds on his back every day. So he was broken physically, and then he couldn't exercise, so he gained a lot of weight, and that led to depression, and then that led to, you know, overeating and not sleeping and just a whole host of things that spiraled.
Did you see this, like when Josh came home, was he living at your house? Did you see this stuff firsthand, or was it happening? He was living on his own and you were there, but you weren't there every minute of every day.
So he started out when he was deployed, or when he came back from deployment, he was in an apartment.
Okay.
And then he lost his job. So he lost his financial support, and then he came back home.
Okay.
And then gradually we saw, you know, going out and being with people to not going out much and then sleeping all day. And then we played tough love and said, if you don't find a job by September, which was 3 months away, you're going to have to move out. And he moved out. He didn't find a job. and then the tough part for me that I struggle with all the time is he got to the point where he wanted to borrow money. And I played the tough love and said no. And he was very angry at me for that. And we didn't speak for 9 months. And then
that's part of the story I've never heard before.
Oh, I thought I told you this. Yeah, it's part of the story that I live with the guilt. And I'm working on that. And I know that he's not gone because I didn't give him money. I know that. But he was pretty angry. And then, you know, he didn't speak to me for 9 months because of that anger, but it was also, I think, just, you know, your mom, you want to, you know, do well, and you want to, I don't know. It's hard to explain. Yeah. It's
the one thing I've always wanted to ask you is, and we're fortunate that we're doing this on the Brady and the Bunch podcast where we have a lot more time, because usually when we talk, and we talk a lot throughout the course of a year, but when we do these interviews, usually we're confined by 10 to 15 minutes on a radio show. So I'm happy we're able to do this longer. This tournament every year is Mother's Day weekend. I imagine Mother's Day weekend is a tough weekend for you. Or when you think about Mother's Day, is there a reason why this tournament is Mother's Day weekend? That's when the facility is available. Did it's just coincidence or what? Why it's, is this tournament is, now?
It is just coincidence because it was too busy throughout the winter season, the hockey season. So it was hard to get ice.
Cairns is used by a lot of teams.
Oh my gosh. And they're phenomenal there. Lori and Bob are amazing. I've really focused on Mother's Day as being a celebration of my mom.
Okay.
And that's kind of how I get through that. You know, it's funny because Josh wasn't a good, like, oh, I'm going to spend all day with you, mom, on Mother's Day.
Well, it's most 20-somethings aren't, they don't have that perspective yet.
Right. So that's true.
I defend him on that just because I've been a 20-something.
Yeah.
I'm still a 20-something. A couple months left of a 20-something.
I know. That's a good thing. You need to get in the 30s.
Yeah. Right. So,
but, you'll get that maturity. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. It's tough because, you know, I don't know. I try not to focus on it, but there's so much out there around Mother's Day and your own children. And I had a hard time the first couple of years where I felt, I don't want to say obligated to spend time with my mom, because it's not that.
Mm-hmm.
I like to honor my mom and my mother-in-law on Mother's Day, and that's what we're going to do on Sunday. But the first, it was 2 years ago, I had a friend who said, what are you doing for Mother's Day? And I said, nothing. And she said, I want to take you out to lunch.
Hmm.
And I thought, well, Mother's Day isn't about me. It's about my mom. And I felt a little guilty because I spent it with her celebrating, you know, not even really celebrating, just being together. And that's been hard. And it's a roller coaster of emotions because sometimes it'll hit me. And this year is a little bit different because, as you know, we just lost my father-in-law.
Yes. And I'm sorry for that loss as well.
Thank you. So we're really trying to, you know, spend a lot of time with my mother-in-law and just make sure that she's okay. And so I think that will be my focus this year. But Saturday, when I'm standing up talking to every hockey player who's there, you know, it's going to be a little emotional.
This, Josh, is fun. Your quest, now I'm getting tongue-tied about it all, your quest to end veteran suicide, you said now is going on its fifth year. How long did it take you to get to the point where you were able to move forward to do things like this? Was it instantaneous? Did it take a year?
No, it was pretty quick. For me, it's a distraction, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's also this need to help and this need to save. And this need to make sure this doesn't happen to another mother.
Was that in you before? You said you had done research on PTSD before this. Was that in you before, or is this a new trait that you've acquired?
It was in me before, I think, like even when I helped Josh start lacrosse, it was, okay, we're doing this and, you know, we've got a mission and we're going to do this and we're going to get it and we're going to fight until we get it. And with Blue Star Mothers, it was, you know, okay, we're going to start Blue Star Mothers and this is our mission and this is what we're going to do. So the mission was there, not as much the veteran suicide, the PTSD was there.
You've always been you're a mom. You've always been a helper. You've always been a problem solver.
Yeah. Yeah.
This comes with the territory, I've learned.
Well, you don't want to see your babies hurt. And I know that's part of them growing up and I don't want to say controlling, but, you know, you just don't want to see your kids hurt and you want them to grow. But I just feel like they deserve so much more than this. It's just, I mean, even our police officers now and our EMTs, and there's just such a trend in suicide in general. It's like, what is going on?
This is something that we have talked about on the show recently, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but it's something that is very interesting to me. And I somewhere in there, there's a fascinating research study by someone much smarter than me. But recently, the NBA commissioner came out and said he thinks a lot of NBA players are unhappy because of social media. Mm-hmm. When you're a professional athlete, and you're a big hockey fan, so when you're a professional athlete and you're bombarded with, you know, these players that are getting constant negativity from fans, and then they have things actually going on in their own life. And I started to think, like, when's the last time I went on social media and truly felt uplifted by something? There are a handful of things throughout a day that you see on social media that are great. And there are a lot of things on social media that you see that you roll your eyes at. And I think a lot of this stuff in modern day, I think I would not be surprised to hear that suicide rates have risen because of social media, especially in teenagers.
I think you're spot on. I think especially the teenage suicide right now. I mean, if you look at all of the younger kids and teenagers who are completing suicide, ending their life, a lot of it is based on bullying. Yeah. And, you know, this person was bullied on social media and, you know, said, I think you should go kill yourself. And it takes a very strong person to kind of put that aside and say, I'm not going to listen to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're human, you know, it's like you can only get to, hey, I've thought about it. I mean, I'm putting it out there. I haven't thought to the point where I'm going to do this because I would never do it to my mother. I don't want to be here. Hmm. You know, I mean, I lost that spark. I lost that joy. And it's really tough to go on every day and find that piece of why am I here? You know, and everybody says, well, you're here because you have this big mission. It's like, you know what? They're still dying at 20 to 22 veterans. That's just veterans a day. It's like, you know, what is the mission? You have to find that joy, and I'm not finding it for me.
Still. How do you manage that? Because, I mean, I look at it and say, and I talk about it with my family. I've told them your story. I've talked about it with Rich and Arnie. I've talked about it with Jess and other people in the community. And I say, like, it's amazing to me what Val does. And I'm proud to be associated with you in any way. And I hope that you realize that. Like, I want you to realize that people, maybe you don't see it as a mission, but people feel lucky to know you and people feel lucky to be associated with what you're doing. And that is how I feel. And I hope that comes across from not just me, but from other people, because you have taken this horrible thing and have used it to connect a lot of people that we would not have met otherwise. And I'm proud to be someone that, you know, you can have come to to volunteer at events or to do this interview, or that you're willing to come on the podcast, or that you were in here doing an interview with WVMT a couple weeks ago and said, hey, I'm going to be here. Are you going to be around? I'd love to say hi. Like, I'm proud that this has brought us together. So I hope that I don't want to speak, you know, I can't tell you how to feel or tell you it should be easier or harder or whatever, but I want you to know that you have made a positive impact on my life. And there are a lot of people who know you a lot better than I do. And I can only imagine the impact you've had on them. So,
well, I appreciate that. And I'm very blessed and grateful for everybody that we've met. I mean, Josh, you know, because of Josh, I have so many great people in my life. I think it's they're still ending their lives. And I'm not hearing the stories of, okay, this is how my life changed. I don't care if it's because of me or not. I just want somebody to say, because of this in my life now that this person did, I'm still here and I'm choosing to live. And I mean, to get back to the social media thing, I mean, there's suicides on there every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe that's my problem. I mean, I'm on social media because that's what we use as our medium.
We have to.
We have to.
And look, we have to be on it. I would say this, if it wasn't for work, and I know that work-wise, as a marketing tool, you know, we need it. And I love social media for that. Social media has brought our listeners closer to the show. If it weren't for work, I would probably do my best to not be on it anymore. And I don't know that I could actually do it, but I would feel confident in cutting out at least part of it if I didn't need to.
Well, you know, it's interesting because it's everything. It's politics. It's diet. It's,
don't I know that?
I know. It's sports. It's everybody is arguing with everybody, and it doesn't matter. I'm on this keto site, and somebody was talking about, you know, she has five kids and two of them have autism and she doesn't have time to meal prep. And one of them's like, well, you should be able to have time to do this. You should make the time. It's important. It's a priority. And it's like just the back and forth anger. It's like, you know, can't we just be kind? Can't we just, I was walking down the street the other day and I was in a grocery store and I'm trying to smile to people because I'm very down. I just lost my father-in-law. We're coming up on Mother's Day. We're coming up on Josh's fifth anniversary. Hey, you know, any day it's like, oh yeah, my son's not here. You know, it's like, and I'm just trying to connect with people and just smile, and people don't smile. And I know in Vermont it's hard because this weather has been really crappy. And
I'm
I know
with
that's
you.
Part of it, but it's like, can't we just be kind? I think that's why I hug everybody.
I've been told I'm overly positive. So like
that's not a bad thing. And that's a negative too. You know, if you're too uplifting, people get on you too. It's like, I don't know.
No, you're right. One of the things you've mentioned is having a lot of new friends or a lot of new associates because of all this. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about some of your other partnerships and things that you've got in the works or people that you've worked with and things like that. We do trivia night every Wednesday at the City Sports Grill. And in April, our sponsor was 14 Star Brewery. And I got to meet some of the people over at 14 Star when I was there and try some of their beers that they have. And it's a veteran-owned brewery. Yeah. And they put out the special Josh Pallotta beer every year, of which I still have a few left. I bought multiple four-packs this year. Last year, I got one four-pack. This year, I got multiple four-packs. So I'm proud to say that I have a few left and a few more to drink. And then every year, I'll be putting up a new can up on the bar on our mantle so we have a new one of the different cans. But you have a lot of people that are helping you, but helping this mission as a whole.
Yeah, and I'm going to forget somebody I know, but, you know, we've done a craft fair up at St. Albans City Hall. We've got some support from Rozzy's, who has a donation jar. The Poorhouse has been phenomenal. Their pull tickets that they have, Vermont Law says that you have to donate to a charity, so they've chosen the Josh Pallotta Fund. Mm. They do a golf tournament every year.
The guys that win our fantasy football league every year donate their winnings to you.
Ross and Trevor. Buffalo Wild Wings. We were talking about Aaron Miller. Buffalo Wild Wings did the golf tournament as a fundraiser for us. You know, the radio stations and news stations around here, all of the media has been really supportive. Carnes, Bob and Lori at Carnes Arena. I'm trying to think. Oh, our Chili Challenge, the Colchester Parks and Rec Department. Everybody knows a veteran or has a veteran in their life. And when you hear about this type of story, people just want to give back and they want to help. Lori from Ray's Tool and Die, they support us. They sponsor the hockey tournament every year. We've got Senator Mazza and Governor Phil Scott. They've donated to, you know, it's all over the place. It's crazy how many people just want to give back and help. VFWs.
And if people do want to help, they can come out to the tournament. What time does the tournament start tomorrow?
Starts at noon.
Okay, so starts at noon. It's over at Carnes Arena in South Burlington. You know where it is, right off, you know, Dorset Park it is.
Yep.
So you can go there, you can donate, you can be part of everything there. You can buy some of the merchandise that we spoke about at the beginning of the podcast. If someone wants to donate, if they can't come to the tournament, but they want to donate, where can they go online to do so?
So they can go to the joshpallottafund.org, Josh, P-A-L-L-O-T-T-A, fund.org, and there's a donate now site there through PayPal. They can send a check. We have a post office box. The address is on there. It's P.O. Box 542, Colchester, Vermont, 05446. And, you know, it's we're going to be here for a while because our mission is going to be a long, I think, battle. I just hope that we can. Oh, one of the things I wanted to mention, too, is that this wellness rec center that we're trying to develop, Josh's house, because we think we're going to need $1 million to sustain it. We're about 312 or 315,000 right now. But what we've started doing is supporting veterans through a wellness hub where we're offering personal training for veterans through Concept Move.
Yep.
We're looking for other gyms that would like to participate by offering some pretty good discounts for gym memberships and personal training. We're also looking for yoga studios that want to offer free yoga for veterans. We're looking for massage therapists, any type of holistic health or, you know, exercise or even recreation trips, canoe trips, things like that. Hmm. Things that you would think of that provide you with some outlet. If you can think about it as a personal level, what gives you relaxation? What gives you a personal outlet? That is a good option for veterans. So we're trying to offer services now so that veterans don't have to wait until Josh's house is in fruition.
Well, the Brady and the Bunch podcast, it's a call to action from me to you. We have a lot of listeners in a lot of different disciplines with a lot of different reaches and a lot of different pulls. So if you have any pull anywhere, whether you run a business, you're the number two in command, you have access to the fundraising budget, you can do whatever, you get free passes to this place that you can donate somewhere, you know, be willing to make a donation to the Josh Pallotta Fund. Again, joshpallotta.org, Val Pallotta in here. The tournament is tomorrow, the hockey tournament, the fifth annual. This will be the third time that I have gotten to speak to you on this weekend every year. So again, as I said at the beginning, it's always a somber reason that we're talking at this point, but I always leave here uplifted, and I want you to know, at least from me to you and everyone who's listening, that you're doing something really important, and I hope that you find validation in that and fulfillment in that, because, again, I feel lucky to be associated with you at all, and the people who are making it to the end of this podcast, I think they're going to be uplifted by your story as well. So you can't stop, because I won't let you stop.
I'm not going to stop. I won't stop until there's an end to veteran suicide. I just won't. I'm down a lot, but this keeps, you know, pulling me through. I have a mission, and our men and women deserve better. So,
well, you're an inspiration, and we appreciate you, and we want the tournament to have. We wish you success, and we want much more success than even that I'm thinking. So, Val, thank you.
Thanks, Brady.